So Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. May God bless his word to us this morning. I wonder if you ever followed the wrong directions and wound up somewhere you weren't expecting to go. 2 years ago, a young lady named Amber in Arizona wanted to visit the Grand Canyon. So she punched into her phone using maps, the address and everything. But her GPS led her down a road that didn't exist. She ran out of petrol, and she was stranded in the desert for 5 whole days. She realized there was no one there, no one coming to help her. She set up rocks to make up the word help and everything else on the ground, but no one was coming to help her. She ran out of food and everything, but she realized she had to save herself. And so she went out to find a phone signal. She went walking, and eventually she found a phone signal. She was able to call for rescue. They sent a helicopter and it had a happy ending. But she was following the wrong directions. And following the wrong directions or advice can have disastrous consequences. You think about perhaps a financial advisor says, you make this investment, you'll get this return, it'll be wonderful. People follow the advice, turns out to be a bad investment. People put their life savings into something and they end up spending the rest of their lives in poverty because they had the wrong advice. What about the wrong medical advice? People have lost their health, even lost their lives from the wrong medical advice. I mean, a few months ago, I took Dad to the doctor and he says, look, I'm having a bit of trouble breathing, my airways and everything. Doctor says, just take some of this nasal spray, you'll be right. A few weeks later, he's dead, pneumonia. Would things have been different if the doctor had just maybe taken a torch and looked at the airways? We don't know, but it wouldn't have hurt. Might have been different advice. Might have turned out differently. We don't know. And so many have lost money, health, and even their lives through following bad counsel. But the greatest tragedy is when people follow bad spiritual counsel and lose not just their lives, but their eternal souls. Bad spiritual counsel. And I would say this, all our problems can be traced to wrong counsel, and all their solutions can be found in good counsel. That's not exaggerating. Everything goes back to wrong counsel and advice, and it flows from there. So think about this question. How did this world come under the curse of sin? And how did we become subject to suffering and death? What can we trace it back to? You know the story, Genesis chapter 3. You think about what happened there in the garden. What did Satan, through the serpent, actually do to Eve? We don't read anything of his physical actions, what mannerisms he had, if he actually took one of the fruits and held it up or touched Eve at all. There's nothing revealed about that. All we have revealed is his words, his advice, his counsel. What he said to her, we're told that he's subtle, he's cunning and deceitful. That's the type of counsel he gave her. And so what was the counsel? You can eat of this forbidden tree. You'll be as gods. It's all fine. And she followed that counsel. And the curse, sin and the curse, all flowed from that bad counsel. And ever since, the father of lies has been feeding the people of this world with bad counsel. And most people are prepared to follow it. Most people are following the devil's advice. The vast majority of the people in this world. But just as the whole world was plunged into darkness by a counselor, well, so the salvation of the world is given through another counselor, a capital C counselor. And so this is see how critical it is, what counsel, what advice we're following. Ultimately, the critical choice every one of us must make is whose counsel we will follow, God's or Satan's. Every single one of us, young and old, you have to make a decision. And it's not a one-off decision, it's every day. Whose counsel will I follow? Which one will you follow? Think about that. This isn't for the person next to you, well, it is, but it's also for you. Whose counsel will you follow? And so we come to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. We started here last week. And we're thinking about these five names given to Christ. And last week we looked at the name Wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. And we saw how he's wonderful in his person as the Son of God, his deity, but also the Son of Man, his humanity. He's wonderful in who he is. He's wonderful in his offices as a prophet and as a priest and as a king. Wonderful in all those aspects. He's wonderful in his words, words of grace, words of truth, words of everlasting life. And he's wonderful in his works of creation, his works of redemption, in his humiliation and his exaltation. It's just all wonderful. From every angle you look at the Lord Jesus, he's just wonderful. He's marvelous. He's amazing. He's astonishing. Okay? And so he's a wonderful Savior, a wonderful Lord, and I trust that he's wonderful to you. But today we'll consider this second name, Counselor. Counselor. So what is or who is a counselor? In Scripture, a counselor is an advisor, particularly to kings. So the king would have these counselors and these advisors, and they would give him their opinions about things and say, well, we think you should do this or that. In 1 Chronicles chapter 27, verse 32 and 33, it says, and Jonathan, David's uncle, was a counselor, a wise man and a scribe. And Jehiel, the son of Hachmoni, was with the king's sons. And Ahithophel was the king's counselor. And Hushai the Archite was the king's companion. Talks about these counselors that the kings would have. David had those counselors. But it talks about their wisdom. They're known for wisdom. That's how they had that position, because they could really think things through and give really considered advice. Ahithophel, you remember Ahithophel, who defected from David to follow after Absalom when Absalom usurped the throne. He was a traitor, and he ended up killing himself ultimately. But it says in 2 Samuel 16:23, the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. It was almost like divine counsel that he was giving, because he had such shrewdness and prudence and wisdom about certain things. And so this gives us an idea when we think about counsel and a counselor and different things, and especially when we apply it to the Messiah. Now, just thinking about what we're reading about here in Isaiah chapter 9, at this point, Ahaz was the king of Judah, but Ahaz, he took some wrong choices. And Ahaz, he was a poor counselor, we would say. He preferred to trust in Assyria rather than in the Lord. And thereby he brought judgment upon the nation. A lot of these, we saw how last week, chapters 7 through 9, there's a lot of judgments pronounced upon God's people. And really it comes from the top, Ahaz. And so in contrast to Ahaz, a bad counselor, the Lord would provide his people a true and wise counselor to guide them in the ways of righteousness and life. It says there that there would be a child born unto us, a son is given. He was going to give the people this counselor. And so this is our theme of the day, that his name is Counselor. Our first point we'll look at is our inherent want of a counselor. The fact is, we need a counselor. We need one. And that's the first step we need to realize. In our natural state, we are ignorant and blind. So in our fallen state, inherited from Adam, it has left us without spiritual understanding, and we are alienated from God. Ephesians 4:18 tells us that, having the understanding darkened, a darkened understanding, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That's talking about a lost person. That's how we all enter this world. Understanding darkened, blindness in our hearts. And even in this chapter, Isaiah chapter 9, we saw that how, verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Who's he sending this light to? Who's he sending this counselor to? To people who are in darkness, people who are in ignorance. The people who think they're in light and think they're in knowledge, they're not going to be helped by this counselor. But those who acknowledge this, they are the ones that will be blessed by this counselor. Also, 1 Peter 1:14 says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. In your ignorance. That's how you lived as an unbeliever. Ignorance. And this ignorance must be humbly acknowledged if we are to be wise. Job 8 verse 9, for we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow. If you come to the place where you just say, God, I know nothing. I don't know much. No, I know nothing without God giving me revelation and light and counsel. Psalm 73 verse 22, the psalmist says, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. He thought he had things figured out, but he realized, you know what? No, I was ignorant. I was foolish. But most people in their pride refuse to admit their true spiritual state before God. They're not prepared. They won't say, well, I know everything, but they won't say, look, I'm ignorant. They say, look, I know a bit about certain things. They won't say they're ignorant. They won't say they're blind. And that's what the Lord Jesus experienced with the Jews. John 9:41, Jesus said unto them, if you are blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. That was the problem. We see. We know. We're not in darkness or blindness. No help for such a person. Same with the Laodiceans. You remember the church of the Laodiceans in Revelation 3. What was their opinion of themselves? Revelation 3:17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Self-deluded. People think they're in a right state spiritually, and the Lord Jesus says, this is how you really are. You're blind. You're blind. Have you come to that place where you acknowledge that you are ignorant and blind? You know nothing and you need the Lord to be a counselor. You see, in our natural state, we are not only ignorant and blind, we are in rebellion against God. Isaiah 53 verse 6, all we like sheep have what? Gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Also, Matthew 9:36, when he saw the multitudes, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd, they're in a lot of trouble. They can't figure it out for themselves. They just go their own way. They just go astray. And that's what we are. We're sheep. We are sheep. And in our natural state, we just go our own way. You know, Frank Sinatra, old Blue Eyes. One of his famous songs was, I did it my way. I did it my way. And really, that sums up the attitude of life for most people in this world. I'm just going to do things my way. I don't need some book, some Bible to tell me how to live. I don't need God to dictate how I should live. I'm going to do things my way. A lot of people do that. Maybe there's some people here who are still living that way. But if there's a theme song in hell, I don't know if there's a theme song of hell. I think it would be, I did it my way. In this world, they sing it as sing it proudly as an anthem, but in hell, they sing it as a lament. I did it my way. What a fool, I did it my way. I rejected the gospel. I rejected the only counsellor who could have saved me from this place, and I'm lost. I'm lost forever. I did it my way. That's how we are in our natural state. We need a counsellor, but most people say, no, I don't need this counsellor. I don't need guidance from God. I don't need to submit myself to the Lord Jesus Christ and his counsel. Have you admitted that? So first of all, our inherent want of a counsellor. And then secondly, Christ's incomparable worthiness to counsel. He is the ultimate counsellor. He is equipped, he is qualified like no one else to be a counsellor. As the second person of the Godhead, he is privy to all the decrees of God, all God's purposes. Along with the Father and the Spirit, he forms, as has been called, the cabinet council of heaven, into which no created being is admitted. No angel enters into that council. Only the three persons of the Godhead. And the Lord Jesus is that second person of the Godhead. And so all the purposes, all the decrees of God are known to him. In John chapter 5, verse 20, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. He showeth the Son all things. He doesn't hide things from the Son. And we think of this term counsel, as we understand it, it means to advise, to give advice about things. But the term counsel with reference to God means more than advice and instruction. It denotes the eternal purposes being carried out in his creation. So we see that in Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. He's talking about how the Lord Jesus was delivered to be crucified and killed. And he says all that was the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. It was determined by God, and it's his counsel. So you see how rich this word is. To be the counselor of God is to be to have all this knowledge, and this knowledge of God's decrees and his purposes and all these things, his determinate counsel that he's carrying out in the world. And so we also see his divine attributes make him the best counselor. Remember, he is God, and we see that even in this verse. He's the mighty God. He is from everlasting. His goings forth have been from old, from everlasting, Micah 5, verse 2. In John 16, verse 30, now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. He knows all things, all things. And he proved that so often in his ministry. You think of when Nathanael was called to be a disciple of the Lord, and Nathanael's brought to Jesus, and Jesus points out the fact that he knows a lot about Nathanael, and Nathanael's a bit shocked about this. And in John 1, verse 48, Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And he knows much more than that. And he knows not just about Nathanael, he knows about every one of us, because he knows all things. He's God. He's omniscient. According to Isaiah 11, verses 2 and 3, it says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither approve after the hearing of his ears. He doesn't judge or make decisions like men do, according to what we see and hear. No, he has divine knowledge. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24 says, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. See how equipped he is to be a counselor, like no one else. Colossians 2, 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures, all the treasury. It's all in the Lord Jesus Christ. What better counselor could there be? And in John 2, verse 25, it says there, he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He knew what was in man. He didn't need man's testimony or counsel or any of those things, because he knows what is in man. He knows what's in you. He knows what's in me. That's how he can be the greatest counselor. And then his incarnation has made him even more fit to be counselor. You know, it's one thing for God to know what we are, what we're made of, that we're but dust, to know our frailty and everything. But he knows it now personally because he has lived in the flesh. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He's felt those temptations. He knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to suffer, to grieve, to weep, and to die. How fit is he to be counselor? He receives counsel from no man. You know, the kings of this world, as we said before, they have many counselors because they need them. But this king, he receives counsel from no man. Isaiah 40:13, who hath directed the spirit of the Lord? Or being his counselor hath taught him? Obviously no one. The Lord has no counselor. Romans 11:33-36, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Who hath been his counselor? Nobody. But many have tried. Many have thought, well, I can do the job of counseling the Lord. Many have thought, well, I've got a bone to pick with God. He let this happen. And if I could just stand before him and tell him what I think and set him straight, it's blasphemous, isn't it? That's the pride of man. But even Peter, remember Peter, when the Lord Jesus said, look, I'm going to suffer many things. I'm going to be killed and rise again the third day. How shocking must that have been to the disciples? What was Peter's response? He was going to counsel the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 16:22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. To rebuke God, to be his counsel and say, no, you're not going to do this. Now we know Peter, the emotions and everything going on, but the Lord rebuked him, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. He was speaking really on behalf of the devil. But how often have many of us thought that we could maybe tell God a thing or two? Maybe that he made some wrong choices and let some wrong things happen to us? No. None of us are God's counselor. We need to understand that his judgments and his thoughts and his ways are far above ours. And we need to understand that his motives are altogether good. In Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And at times it may not seem that way, but his thoughts towards his people and his counsel toward us is for good, is for good. And how did he prove that? He proved that in coming to this world and giving his life for us. Why did he do that? It wasn't for himself, it was for us. It is for our eternal good, that we can be delivered from hell. As John Newton wrote in his hymn, "Which of all our friends to save us could or would have shed his blood? But our Jesus died to have us reconciled in him to God. This was boundless love indeed. Jesus is a friend in need." And so you can see how he is so equipped to be the counselor like no one else. His incomparable worthiness to counsel. We'll look at the third point, the instructing way he counsels us. So we need a counselor. He is the counselor. How does he counsel us? How does he guide us and advise us? Well, he counsels us by his word. You know, one of the great titles of the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God, the Logos. And it's such a rich term, isn't it? The Word. He is the Word. It presents him as the supreme revelation and expression of God. He is the Word. We see that especially in the writings of the Apostle John, in his Gospel, in his first epistle, 1 John 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the Word of life. He is the Word of life. And so the Word is the revelation of God, the counsel of God. In fact, the whole Bible is termed not just the Word of God, but the Word of Christ, which obviously it is because Christ is God. It's the Word of Christ. And it is inspired by the Spirit of Christ, 1 Peter 1:11. And so this book is the counsel of Jesus Christ to us. This is how he counsels us. I wonder, when you open the Bible, do you think, I'm going into a counseling session with the Lord Jesus Christ? Like sitting in a room with Jesus, and as I open the book, I start reading, he is speaking to me. He's giving me instruction and advice and counsel. That's how we should approach the Bible. And so the Lord Jesus gives us counsel through his word in every area of our lives. You think of how many types of counselors there are out there in the world. There's counselors for every situation, every type of person, every problem. You have children's counselors, family counselors, marriage counselors, financial counselors, drug and alcohol counselors, pregnancy counselors. Well, the Lord Jesus is every one of these because he has counsel for every situation we face in life. This is what the Bible has for us. Every situation you can think of. What about marriage counseling? Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Pretty simple, isn't it? That's the counsel of the Bible. I mean, you can save a lot of money just going to Jesus. You'll get better counsel. I'm not saying there's no place for human counselors, and we'll see that as we go through. But he is the counselor. What about children's counseling? You know, they have counselors who specifically counsel for children and different things. I tell you what, there's a lot of abuse going on amongst these counselors. I mean, wrong advice and counsel, like we were talking a few weeks ago. A poor kid comes up confused about gender, and these counselors point them down this pathway of gender transition and all this corruption of them. That's bad counsel. But what does Jesus say? Ephesians 6, verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." That's the Lord Jesus counseling us. Are you going to receive his counsel? Because every time you disobey your parents, you're rejecting the counsel of the Lord Jesus. What about financial counseling? Jesus is the best financial counselor there ever was. And you know how much the Bible says about finances? You know, in the Gospels, Jesus talked about finances more than any other single subject. It's full of it. What does Jesus say? Proverbs 3, verse 9. "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." Honor him with your substance. What about Malachi 3:10? "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. It's good advice, isn't it? Good advice. And we could go on and on. All these different areas, Jesus has the solution to each one because he's the counselor. So he counsels us by his word. And see how important it is we make the word of God a priority in our lives. Otherwise, we're missing out in instruction and counsel from the Lord Jesus. But he counsels us also by his Spirit. Remember, the Lord Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'm going to send another comforter. He'll be with you. He'll be in you. And so the Holy Spirit is sent from the Lord Jesus on his behalf. What does the Holy Spirit do? How does he counsel us? Well, he reproves us of our sin. John 16, verse 8, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Have you received that counsel of Christ, being reproved of your sin? You must do that. The Holy Spirit reveals Christ to us. John 16, 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. You see here the Spirit's role. It's not really about the Spirit about pointing to himself. It's about pointing to the Lord Jesus and what the Lord Jesus wants for us. And the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. John 16, 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. What's a counselor? A counselor is a guide. And he says the Holy Spirit, when he's come, he's going to guide you in all truth because we need a guide. And so he counsels us by his Holy Spirit, which indwells every believer. We need to be sensitive to the promptings and the movings of the Spirit. How do you know if it's the Holy Spirit guiding you in this decision? It lines up with the book. We test it by the Holy Scriptures, not just by our feelings or our inclinations. And Christ counsels us also by his servants. All right? And so it's not always a direct counsel from heaven that the Lord Jesus gives to his people. Now, in some cases, like, say, Paul on the road to Damascus, is directly from the Lord Jesus. But most of the time, it's through a secondary means. The Lord has appointed teachers in the church to expound his word to us. Ephesians 4:11 says, and he, that's the Lord Jesus, gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, and they're to perfect the saints. They're to build up the saints and to build up the church and all those things. And he's given these people. Now, these ones who are speaking on Christ's behalf are to be careful to only speak according to God's word. When there's preaching going on, it's not man's opinion. It ought not be. It ought to be the word of God. Deuteronomy 18, verse 20, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. That's how serious it is. People coming along saying, God told me this, and God never said that, and it's against the book. God says that's a capital crime. Isaiah 8, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, that's the Bible, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. It has to be according to the word. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Just preach the word. Okay, that's what the theme of the preacher should be, the word of God. And so you find Paul, as he spake to the Ephesian elders, and he was telling him, you know, what he'd been doing and how he'd ministered with them for 3 years, night and day. He said in Acts 20, verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So he says, God gave me counsel, and I've declared that counsel to you. Not just some of the counsel of God, all of it. And that's the responsibility of a faithful minister, not just to stick to those things that don't step on people's toes and go against the grain, but all the counsel of God, both the things we want to hear and don't want to hear. And that's a big responsibility. All the counsel of this book, that's a big responsibility, but that's what God has appointed these people to do. And they are to speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, as the word of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God may in all things be glorified through Jesus Christ. And so that's the responsibility of the preacher. What about those who hear? Those who hear are to receive the word that is preached. You see that in the Bereans. Acts 17:11, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. That's important too, isn't it? Check to see if the preacher is being faithful to what the book says. And we should be doing that. It's good to see a lot of open Bibles here today, because in a lot of churches, people don't even bring their Bibles. They might put some stuff on the screen, but how do you know if it's really from the book? No, search the scriptures, whether these things are so. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 20 says, despise not prophesyings. Prophesyings is preaching the word. Don't despise preaching. Why would you have to say that? Because it happens. Don't despise it. Okay? All right, and then James 1, verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. We need to receive it. Receive the word. But it's not just ministers in the church. It's all believers have a responsibility to speak the counsels of God to others. As the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, freely have ye received, freely give. Why did God give you illumination and understanding? Why did he give you his word? So you could just keep it to yourself? No, so you could convey it to others. Preach the gospel to others. And you know, you've heard of Dead Sea Christians. You know the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea has many inlets. It has no outlet. And that's why it's just become all dead, full of salt. There's no flow through it to purge it of all those things that build up, and it's just dead. There's no life there. A lot of people are like that. A lot of professing Christians, they just take in, they take in, they take in, but there's no giving out. And they're spiritually dead, essentially. No, there should be a flowing in, there should be a flowing out. We receive that counsel of the Lord Jesus, we give it out to others. God showed me this. You see this? See what the Bible says about this situation? God help me here. This scripture was a help to me. I think it'll be a help to you just in everyday situations in life. So many opportunities God gives us. Are we using them? So we started off thinking about these counselors. And there are many wicked counselors. Nahum 1 verse 11 says there's a wicked counselor giving bad advice. And there's many of these in the world. They're in the media. I mean, you be careful, you know, what you take and what you believe in the media, especially the ABC. You know what ABC stands for? Anything but Christian. Anything. And I mean anything. It could be Islam, it could be some transsexual, it could be some sodomite. They're all fine, but Christian, no way. Especially Bible believing. They'll have liberal Christians who, you know, lesbian Christians and all the rest of it. But Christian, no. They're wicked counselors. And so you want to be careful of that. Government. The wicked government's making wicked decisions, wicked laws, evil counselors, schools, polluting the minds of children, evolution, transgenderism. That's bad counsel. It's of the devil. Workplaces. And, you know, sometimes we can't escape these things. We've got a job and there's ungodly people there, or, you know, there's the radio going, or, you know, sometimes, and we need to understand there's bad counsel coming forth out of these things. And even in churches, sad to say, or at least so-called churches, bad counsel being given from pulpits, from clergymen, teaching, well, you, if you live a good life, if you try to follow the Ten Commandments, God will let you into heaven. That's abominable. That's wicked counsel. And all these things, they're speaking satanic lies, leading people to eternal ruin. You be careful whose counsel you hear. And many professing Christians have allowed worldly counsel to corrupt their thinking. They've allowed it in. And it's hard not to in this day and age. It's all around us. It's on the internet. It's on your devices and everything. And if we're not careful, it comes in and it starts to shape our thinking. It takes us away from the book, away from Jesus' counsel. Proverbs 19, verse 27, we need this more than ever. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Stop hearing it. If you need to throw out that device or block certain websites or, you know, whatever it takes, just remove yourself from certain people. Cease, whatever it takes. The blessed man in Psalm 1, you know the psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He's rejecting the counsel of the ungodly. He's receiving the counsel of the Lord Jesus from the Word of God. And he's not just reading it, doing his chapter for the day. No, he's delighting in it. He's meditating upon it, even day and night. That's a blessed man. Have you come to the place where you have humbly acknowledged your sinful ignorance and blindness before God and sought his grace and counsel through Jesus Christ? Have you said, God, I know nothing, and I need the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to understand my sin. I need grace to repent of it and to believe in Jesus Christ. I need Jesus to be my leader, to be my Lord, to be my shepherd. You think of that counsel that the Lord Jesus gave to the Laodiceans. We talked about them, how deluded they were. They thought they were rich and increased with goods. They had need of nothing, but their state was wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked. Revelation 3:18, I counsel thee, that's the Lord Jesus, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with thyself, that thou mayest see. He says buy, but it's all free. It's all of grace. You just have to come to him and admit that you're not rich and increased with goods, that you can't see, that you are wretched and miserable. And you can. His counsel is to come to him for all these things, for salvation. Just have a look. I haven't put this in your notes, but in John chapter 14, this is something else. As we see the Lord Jesus, as he prepares to go to the cross, John chapter 14, and the disciples, they're in a confused state. You know, Jesus has told them he's going to the cross, he's going to die, he's going to leave them. He says, John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's talking about the Father's house, going there. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And so Thomas, in his confusion, he says to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And that's a question I think multitudes are asking today. I don't know the way. I'm trying to figure out my way through this life. I don't know the way to go through death, to everlasting life. I just need someone to show me the way. Well, the answer Jesus gave to Thomas is the answer that he gives to every person. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's his counsel, because he is the way, he is the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. That's the counsel he gives to us. We sang before in Psalm 33 and verse 10, it says, "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect." The counsel of the heathen, the advice that they give you, eventually it'll come to nothing. It all come crumbling down because God will bring it to naught. But verse 11, this is Psalm 33:11. "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations." His counsel is eternal. You follow his counsel, you'll have eternal life. And in Psalm 32, verse 8, this is a promise of the Lord Jesus that he gives to all those who will submit to him. Psalm 32, verse 8. It says there, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." He's talking about guiding us like a shepherd guides his sheep. He says, "I will do that in the way thou shalt go." What way is that? That's a way of peace. That's a way of a joyful life, a blessed life. But more importantly, it's a way of eternal life. "I'll guide you that way," he says. But you have to submit to him. Have you done that? Isaiah 9 verse 6 says, "His name shall be called Counselor." The Lord Jesus Christ is the Counselor. But can you truly say that he is my Counselor? Let's pray.